Welcome to Spawned, a common sense, generally fun, and hopefully helpful discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Liz Gumbiner.
And I'm Kristen Chase, and we're the founders of CoolMomPics.com. Today, we're going to be talking about body image after 40. You know, I posted a photo of myself in a crop top on Instagram. Liz, I can't believe I actually said that sentence.
It's amazing, and I am so glad that we are going to have a bigger discussion about this because the comments blew up, and you know what? We have more to say that we can say in like a couple quick sentences on social media. So this should be a really good talk about body image and body positivity and middle age and all that fun stuff.
Yes. And as always, we will close out our show with our cool picks of the week. And we're going to get into this really awesome topic right after this.
This episode of Spawned is brought to you by the Last Kids on Earth book series by Max Brawlier, with cool illustrations by Douglas Holgate. And the book, by the way, is now a Netflix series. But hey, here's some exciting news. The seventh book is coming out this fall, and you can pre-order it now. It's the perfect series to keep your 8 to 12-year-old kids reading this summer. And if you've got fans of the Wimpy Kids series and Dog Man, they will love this. And there are already 6 books, which will keep them happily reading all summer long until the 7th comes out. So head over to lastkidsonearth.com. That's lastkidsonearth.com to learn more, and go to wherever you get your books to pre-order the 7th book in the Last Kids on Earth series.
So, Liz, this isn't the first time we've talked about body image on the show. We had Virgie Tovar on a couple of years ago. That was a super informative, eye-opening episode. Of course, we will link everything that we talk about, including that episode, up over on our podcast page. But today we're going to talk about an Instagram post that I did last week. And, you know, it was inspired by a conversation I had with my 12-year-old who came into my bedroom, just kind of had like a not-so-confident look on her face, wearing like a little crop top and some short shorts. And she was just like, I don't think I can wear this. I don't think this looks good on me.
And I don't think I can wear this is like a horrible thing to hear as a mom from a preteen.
Yes, it is. Although we'll talk about this, but how many times have we said that in our lives?
Exactly.
many. Mm-hmm. But when you hear it, I think it gives you a lot of clarity. And, you know, I looked at her and I said, number one, you are your own harshest critic. You know, the people out there looking at you are not saying anything about you out loud or in their minds. And guess what? If they are, that's their problem. It has zero to do with you. Number two, bodies are different. That's what makes this world amazing, is that we are all different in shapes and sizes. And just because you don't think that you have what society has given to us as the perfect or right size, doesn't mean that you don't get to wear that outfit that you're wearing. And finally, the big one, which is what inspired me to get in a crop top and sort of high-waisted short-ish shorts, is that I said, you don't want to be the 45-year-old who had, I said in past tense, a smoking hot body when I was a teenager and in my young 20s, and was afraid or scared to wear all of the things that I should have felt confident about. So I said that to her, and I want to caveat that just for a second and say this. She was very touched by it. She was moved. She started crying. I was crying. She hugged me. She walked out more confident, wore the outfit, felt great. And I think it was a big moment for her. It was also a big moment for me, but it took a little while. It took me a couple weeks. And it also was interesting, right? Because did you hear what I said? I said had a smoking hot body. And I have to say, credit to my boyfriend, who was like, what do you mean had? What are you talking about? Like, what do you mean you had? Like, that, there is something there. And so between that conversation I had with her and the conversation I had with him, I was like, wait a second, what am I doing? And so when my daughter and I went to Target and she was like, Mom, you need these shorts and also pairs well with a crop top, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I had no idea. I just shared it. I shared that experience with my daughter. And holy cow, so much.
It was amazing.
So much resonation and comments and wonderful things came out of that.
Yeah. And the Today Show wrote to you and asked if they could write about it. They did a story. Facebook blew up. Like, I think it's something that parents need to hear. And here's one thing, Kristen, I'm sure you've thought about this, but this was interesting to me. I think one of the reasons girls in particular today are so self-conscious earlier and earlier is because of social media and what they're seeing on social media. And I love that you used social media to put out a different message and get all this support. It's like a positive feedback loop, which is something we're always looking for our kids online. And I just love how that worked out, you know?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's funny when you do those kinds of posts, in a way, you just kind of like put them up and you're like, okay, this is for me in a way. Like, it was a little selfish, right? And just like, I need to put this out there.
Was it hard though? Like, did you feel brave doing that? Did you hesitate? Like, it's hard. It's hard to even like go online. I talked about hot flashes last week. So like, did you hesitate at all? Because I know it's hard putting yourself out there like
that. I did hesitate, actually. And I have to say, in writing it, I felt more confident, right? Because the message initially, which was selfish, like, okay, I'm going to put this out there, actually became more about go wear the crop top. What are you waiting for? Like I said, I'm 45, I'm not dead. But what was interesting is that it changed for me as I was writing it. And then the responses, whoa, I just didn't expect it.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it at all.
For our listeners who haven't seen it, it's on the Cool Mom Picks Instagram page. Just scroll down a few posts and you'll see Kristen standing there in her very cute crop top, looking amazing and banging body, I will say. But did anything surprise you about all the responses? Like, I knew you'd get a lot of support because we have awesome readers and followers and friends and, you know, no one's going to be like, you look terrible. Like, it was very supportive.
Well, it is the internet. Let's be honest. Especially when it got picked up by the Today Show. You know,
right.
I was expecting more people to be like, and there were a couple who were like, yeah, no. Or the one person who was like, it's fine, but there are way more flattering, and we'll talk about the word flattering, shirts that you could have worn. I think the biggest thing for me.
Oh, she said that to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, have her call me. I will have a talk with her.
Yeah, one out of like hundreds of comments.
Because the point is not about flattering. That was the entire point of the post, is like, wear what makes you feel good.
Right. Well, yes, for sure. But I think flattering is something we can talk about, because there were some comments more on Facebook, actually, I think, than on Instagram about the word flattering. And it looks good on you, but it doesn't look good on me. It's not flattering on me.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I think stood out was how many people were inspired to take action, which is something I didn't expect. And I don't know if that surprised you too, because it wasn't you. Like, you were looking at it a bit from the outside, although you know me. I think people were like, I decided to wear shorts for the first time in 7 years. And I was like, well, you haven't worn shorts in 7 years. You need to come over.
Kristen, I don't wear shorts. You know that. I mean, I really don't. Until last year. Last year, I got shorts. And you were like, oh my gosh, you're wearing shorts.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Like, I didn't wear jeans for years. And then finally started wearing jeans because I was like, whatever, who cares? Like, we talked about this in like one of our very first Spawned episodes 6 years ago about passing the hot baton. That I always believe, like, once you hit a certain age, just pass the hot baton. You don't have to be the hottest chick in the room. Just like, wear jeans, you know? But it took me a while to move on to shorts. So now I actually have shorts because they are comfortable.
Yes. Well, it was so interesting, right? People were like, I bought a crop top because of you. And what I also found so exciting was that a lot of people said, I wore those things and my girls were excited for me.
Aww.
They cheered me on. And I think we often forget, you know, we hear it so often about setting the example, right? Like LeVar Burton came on and he talked about setting the example. We had digital parenting experts who come on and say, you're setting the example. And I think we're aware of setting the example for our kids in a lot of ways. But I think it has become so ingrained in us, particularly women, not always women, but particularly women, where we say things and we don't even realize it.
Yes.
And we don't even know we're saying stuff that is actually so self-critical. There's a lot of like nuance too, which is tricky, right? Like, you know, we're going to talk about the word flattering, or we're going to talk about like body type and like fitting and all those sorts of things. And I think we have to remember that we are setting an example for our kids, not just our girls, but it's important for our boys to see this as well.
Yeah. Well, look, I have two girls that I think they look great in anything. They can wear like literally whatever they want. I mean, all kids should be able to wear whatever they want, obviously. But sometimes they'll put something on and go, ugh, this doesn't look good. And here am I thinking, are you insane? But what I try to say is, you have to feel good in what you're wearing. And so I try to phrase it in terms of feeling good, because I've thought a lot about my own stuff around this. Like you, I was banging body. Rumor has it I was runner up for class body in high school, Crystal.
Okay, but also, again, I will pretend to be your boyfriend and tell you, because your boyfriend would tell this to you too, you still have a banging body. So whatever.
He does. Whatever. And that's what's so nice. Like, I look at myself and I'm like, oh, I'm not 16. And he looks at me and he's like, you look hot. And like, so that's one thing I learned years ago, is that women just for other women, right? We are way more critical on ourselves. I guarantee you, you would not have had a man in the comments quite as easily as that woman saying, you could have picked something more flattering. Women are tough on each other, man.
True.
I think it makes us tough on ourselves. But I admit that I care about flattering / well-fitting clothes. It's important to me. And I am on the other side of 50, not just 40. And I want to feel good about myself. So I make sure I say that to my kids. Like, well, I want to feel good about myself. And it's not vanity. I just feel more like me when I look in the mirror and I'm like, this makes me feel good. This fits well. Like, I don't have to be a supermodel. And, you know, I may or may not wear a crop top, but I still want to feel good. I don't know. I want to wear clothes that are flattering. But on the other hand, I, you know, I'm happy to wear shorts, which are maybe not the most flattering, but are appropriate in certain situations. Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. But I think it's important for us to take a closer look at the word flattering, right? Because you're interchanging two things that don't actually go together. Like, they've sort of been made for us to think they do. Like, there's one thing about fit, right? Like, if something fits us, like if it's too tight around our waist and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like there are certain crop tops that I don't want to wear because like I can't actually breathe in them.
Like, yeah.
That's not good. But that is actually different than flattering. And, you know, we're going to link up a couple articles about this. I did a little bit of a data nerd search, not just for you, Liz, but, you know, I had you in my mind. Mm-hmm. And there's an article in Bustle and it's from a while ago, but it still holds up.
Oh, I like Bustle.
And I love Bustle. And it's why we need to stop using the word flattering immediately. And the reason why, the TLDR, right? Read the article. It's great. There are a bunch like this. Essentially, is that flattering has been used typically to mean slimming.
Interesting.
Like, that's what it means. Like, if something is flattering you, like, and I think about when we say you want to feel good in your clothes, which I totally agree with, but I would dive deeper with my kids and ask them, what does that mean when you feel good? Right? Because I think that there are a lot of people out there that if you ask them, what does that mean? They might eventually get to the point where it makes me look thin. It makes my butt look smaller. It makes my boobs look bigger.
Right.
Like, it makes my waist look thinner. And that's actually not what we want to get to when we say these clothes make us feel good. They make us feel good because we feel like ourselves.
Right.
We feel more like us. But you know what? It's been twisted thanks to years and years and years and years of women, right, being made to feel less than if they don't look a certain way.
Right.
Right? Like, that has just happened. That's a thing.
But just on the other side of it, you know that there's like that one awesome clothing store in our neighborhood, right? Tango, where I love the store. I love everything in there. And the salespeople are amazingly attentive to a fault. So they're always bringing me like 80 dresses to try on. And there are certain dresses where if it's like an ampere waist, you know, like right under the bust, my boobs look so enormous and I end up looking like I'm wearing a maternity dress and I'm like, no, A-line. And so I just know, okay, I don't know what term I should use, but it's not flattering. It makes me look pregnant. My arms are all jiggly. Like, I don't feel good in that look. And I feel like if I can buy a dress that's equally stylish and summery and cool and appropriate, but makes me look what I think looks better or more balanced, or my boobs look less like they're going to make me fall over in a small breeze, then like I'd prefer that.
Yeah.
So you're not saying that that's wrong.
Well, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I want to challenge you and say, what has made you believe that jiggly arms aren't sexy or hot or cool, right? Like, that's something to really think about. Listen, I am not so actualized that it doesn't bother me either. But what's so wrong about our arms flapping a little bit? I'm with you on not wanting to look pregnant, though.
Okay, so we agree there's one line.
I think it's a fine line. But these are the things we have to challenge in ourselves, right? I think it's interesting. Like, this is what happened to me because of seeing my daughter and going, are you kidding me? Look at yourself. Mm. And then I was like, Wait a second. Are you kidding yourself? Look at you, Kristen. Look at you. Like, who said that just because you have some cellulite on your thighs doesn't mean, like, oh, sorry, you can't wear those shorts? And what right. has told you that that is bad or that doesn't look good, right? Like, that's the challenge.
Well, I think that's hard. Yeah. And I'm going to have to, like, think about that yes. more, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's hard. It's hard for me. And part of that may be living in New York City and working in industries that are, like, high fashion and people look amazing all the time and people are really put together. And you feel like you're competing isn't the right word, but, like, you want to fit in. And, like, you're judged by your appearance. You don't want to look, like, sloppy. Like, that stuff matters in a lot of careers. So I just want to be honest about that. If you work at Hearst, you cannot walk in there in gym shorts with your cellulite flapping. They won't let you, which kind of sucks, but that's also kind of Hearst, right? Maybe Condé Nast more than Hearst, I would say. Right. Sorry, Hearst.
Let's not call them out here. But I think things are changing. There's nothing wrong with wearing clothes appropriate to the setting, right? Like if you're going to a black tie event or you're going to an orchestra concert or you're going to a wedding, there are societal rules, whether we agree with them or not, they do exist, you know, like what do you wear to an interview?
Right.
So yes, there are those things. You know, that's a little different than saying, hey, I feel good in this. This makes me feel great. And I am going to the grocery store,
yes.
you know, as opposed to I'm going to an interview.
Right.
However, who said that you can't wear this kind of suit jacket because it shows your roles more, right? Like, that's different.
Yeah, I think time and place plays a part. Like, I don't think it's just about wear whatever you want and you feel great. And like, I wouldn't wear a crop top on an interview. Right. But, you know, a couple years ago, I went with Sage on a press junket to Punta Cana, to a resort down there. And I wrote a post about I didn't get in the pool with my kids for a long time because in my head, I was still like that 18-year-old size zero. And it was really hard for me to be in a bathing suit and look at myself. I just kept a cover up on and sat by the side of the pool going, no, 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 you have fun in there. And that year I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm going a miracle suit. I'm buying something that fits, that makes me feel good. And I'm getting in the damn pool. And I did. And like you were saying that you still remember that post.
Yes.
And a lot of people like write to me still and say, you know, I still think about that post and I get in the pool with my kids now. And so now I will wear a bikini at the pool. I don't care if I have cellulite. Like, I don't care. Like, no one's looking at me. I'm not in a bathing suit contest. Certainly not. Whatever. But on the other hand, I still probably won't walk around Brooklyn in, like, short running shorts. Like, I just won't, honestly.
I mean, there are a lot of people that feel the same way. The thing for me is to just think about the why, right? Like, what about that, like, makes you feel like you can't, right? And you can say, yes, I'm not comfortable with the way my butt looks in short shorts, right? But then it's, like, the deeper question of, like, why you don't feel comfortable. Because let's just right. be honest, women are not allowed to age. And that has also been ingrained in us. We're not allowed
yes.
to. We are beholden to the size we were or how we were when we were 20 or 24 or 18. And society is relentless. It is,
yeah.
if you look at the beauty industry, and look, I wear makeup, I do the things, right? I like to get my eyebrows done, like all of the things. We're surrounded by it, but we are beholden to that. And we age.
Yeah.
Like, if you look comparatively at a 50-year-old guy and a 50-year-old woman, do you think that people are looking at them and being like, oh, I can't believe he's wearing those shorts. Oh, that shirt. Yeah. No. We are so hard on ourselves.
Well, I don't know. When I see old dudes, like, at camp visiting weekend, not necessarily our camp, I'm just saying, in general. Like, if you see, like, guys and they're wearing, like, the muscle shirts that say, like, gas, grass, or ass, nobody rides for free, and they're, like, in their 60s, I'm like, stop. No, stop. You cannot rewind time. Put that back in the 70s where it belongs. So I guess there are a few things I will judge older people on. But maybe I'm just, like, more shallow than you. I don't know. I kind of have always thought, like, okay, the one time I'm wearing, like, some sweaty, awful thing and, like, short shorts and I just ran to the store is when I will run into, like, the boyfriend who got away or something. Like, I'm always like, who might I run into and would I be okay with this? Yeah, I think that way. I mean, I just do. And honestly, like, I'm over 50, so I don't know if I can change that. But the fact that I did get into shorts for the first time, love them, and I'm not going back, like, for me, that's progress.
Listen, you can always change. People can always change. I think that if women were allowed to age, and I'm seeing it more, right? There are so many amazing women on Instagram and Facebook and the internet who are part of a body positivity movement that is really changing how we see women, you know, not just ourselves, but other women and the way that they're represented in media. You know, like, we could talk about Dove, right? And some of their campaigns and how we just see women in all different shapes and sizes in front of us. You know, if we were kinder and gentler about how our bodies change, all bodies change as we get older, and that's okay, and that we don't have to look like our 20-year-old selves, and that's all right. And the parts that jiggle and wiggle and bounce, you know, if you listen to Virgie Tovar's episode, she talks about that and how she loved that as a kid, right? Like the way her body moved and was slowly made to feel terrible about that. So I don't know. Do I think that people can change their minds? Absolutely. I think it's just a matter of taking a moment or lots of moments. And listen, I'm not completely there yet either. I'm not. But I have to say that this has really made me think about the language I use when I talk about myself.
Yeah.
And the language I use when I talk to my kids about all of these things. And that, to me, as a parent, right, it's a parenting podcast, but that's really, really important as we raise the next generation.
I love that. And I think that's the most important thing. We definitely agree on that. There's some things that it's going to just take me longer to come around. And I may never be a crop top person. But like, I also now know that if I go out in a sleeveless dress and my arms don't look like they did when I was 24, literally no one is looking at me.
And
that's
no one.
The thing I think we have to remind ourselves. Like, when you look at the mirror, there's one person staring back at you. And
yes.
I always think that we have that image in our head, the one person staring at you, which is you. But the second we walk out the door, no one's looking at me. No one's looking at me. My mom used to joke about being invisible when she used to, you know, go out with me at restaurants when I was younger. She's like, oh, they all look at you. They don't look at me. Now I'm moving into like invisibility territory and I'm like actually kind of okay with that. It's very liberating to be like, no one's looking at me.
I don't want to be invisible. I think that we should be visible. It's just being viewed in a different way. Like, I don't want to be compared to my 17-year-old daughter, but I want people to see me.
But no one's doing that. That's what I'm saying is it's like sometimes I think as women, we think we're being compared to all the women around us and we kind of aren't. I mean, if you go to a swimming pool and look around and there's like heavy set women there, you're not thinking about them. You're not thinking about what they're wearing and whether they should have worn that or not. Like, I literally don't even notice it or think about it. And then I think, well, why would I think that everybody's looking at me differently?
Well, I have to say when I see women of all shapes and sizes wearing things that I have decided that I can't wear, it's inspiring.
I like that.
When I see women wearing short shorts and I see them wearing crop tops, I'm like, damn, what am I doing? I mean, it's kind of like saying, it's in a way, let's think about this. You know, let's say that you are a dieter or have tried different eating programs and like you have come to the decision that you can't eat cake, for example, right? Like, so in order to be whatever size, you can't eat cake, which is like fine. You can go through life and not eat cake. Like, you can go through life and not wear a crop top, right? But then also it's like, wait, why am I doing this? Why have I decided just because I have to be like a certain number or fit into these certain pants that I can't eat cake or I can't wear crop top? Like, I think it's just about keeping the options open. And I do want to say this because you brought up fit, which is important. Like, I worked with a stylist. I can't remember when this was. It was many years ago. It was right after I think I had a baby, which, you know, I've had four. So
one of several. One in a series of several.
And I was working on a campaign and we went to The Gap, I think it was, and she pulled all these clothes and the sizes, like she pulled a maternity jacket for me and then she pulled like a size 12 and a size 7 or size 8. And she's like, it doesn't matter. She's like, don't look at the sizes, just put it on. We're looking at fit. We're looking at how it hangs on your body. And I will always remember that instance, because it changed the way that I looked at sizing and numbers and all of those things. Because it was just like, let's look at how the clothes feel on your body and like look on your body in terms of not cutting you off so you can't breathe, right? Like all of those things. And the sizes were so diverse.
I mean, I think the thing that comes from all this is wherever we are mentally in this journey of feeling comfortable with ourselves and with our bodies and what we wear and how we move about the world. The thing that was important to me was that you inspired a lot of people to even think about this, let alone take action. That was really cool. And to me, that's always what I've loved about having a blog, having a podcast, having a platform, is that we can use it to put positive messages out into the world or to bring up issues. And you know, you don't always have to be like the perfect influencer with the perfectly retouched photos and everything in place. Like, it's okay to be human. And that's what I loved about the article, was it was just human and real. And it reminded me of old school blogging, Kristen, Motherhood Yay! Uncensored days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to talk to your kids about this, here are some tips, right? And I think the first thing is really look at how you talk about yourself mm-hmm. and look at how you're acting when you're putting clothes on. Are you standing in front of the mirror for a really long time and making faces and like wiggling your arm underneath? Are you deciding that you can't wear certain things and being vocal about it, right? So your kids are watching you. They are picking up on those messages as subtle as you think they might be. So mm-hmm. if you're feeling like you are challenged by this, go in your closet, close the door, do your thing, whatever it is, and then walk out, right? And it's like, fake it till you make it, which isn't that kind of most of parenting, I feel like?
Yeah, yeah. I think the things to watch out for is saying things like, I feel fat today. Like, I've always said that, like, fat is not a feeling. Or saying, like, I feel gross in this, or I look terrible in this, or what am I thinking? Like, that kind of negative stuff about your body in front of your kids, they really hear that. And I have seen kids play that stuff back.
Everyone plays it back. We all do. We've all heard it. Yeah. We've all heard it. So that's the one thing, is really how you talk about yourself. I think the second thing is that words matter. You know, we got a little bit mm-hmm. into like flattering, you know, what does it mean to feel good? What does it mean to be comfortable? Like, all of those things really matter. So when we talk to our kids and say, oh, that's a cute outfit, you know, I don't know if that really fits your body type. Like, okay, body type, what do you mean? What are you talking about? So I would challenge everyone to just choose your words wisely when you're talking with your kids about these issues.
Yes. And if I can add to that, I would say choose your words carefully when speaking to other women,
yes.
especially on social media. Like, I lost weight in the past year because I wanted to be healthy and I wanted to feel better and I want to live long for my kids. And when people say, oh my gosh, you look so great, or you're so skinny, that's less meaningful to me, actually, than like, wow, you worked hard for that, or you look so confident, or I just love how you feel good about yourself. So I try really hard to do that for other women. Like, if they look amazing in something, instead of just, you look amazing, like, you're glowing, you look so confident. So I think there's other ways we can talk about women looking good besides you're so skinny.
Oh, yes, I hope so. Goodness gracious. Like, we are more than our appearance.
Let's get out the thesaurus, ladies.
Well, yeah. I mean, we are. We are more than our appearance. And I think that's an important reminder. And then finally, I think it's about calling things out, you know, and Jordan Shapiro, we just had him on talking about his new book. And he talks about calling out, you know, when you see sort of wonky dad roles in TV, right? Like, calling those things out in front of your kids. And I think the same applies, you know, whether it's people being self-deprecating about their size, or, you know, conversations that maybe kids come back from school and they're talking about, and kind of gently, maybe sometimes not so gently, like if you're watching the movies or you're watching TV, but calling things out as we see them, because that challenges the societal norms, right? Like, that challenges what we're being fed, and it helps our kids develop critical thinking skills, which is what they need in their lives.
I am grateful to those people on Instagram, those women who are talking about this and being honest and being real. And Kristen, you are one of them. You are at the top of my list, in fact.
Aww.
Not just because I know ya.
Yes. Well, listen, we will link up all of the stuff we talked about, old podcast episodes, articles, the Instagram posts, the Today Show posts, all of those things over on our podcast page. And we will be right back with some pretty cool picks of the week right after this.
Hey, everyone, we want to tell you about our sponsor, which happens to be another parenting podcast. It's Notes from the Backpack, and it's brought to you by the National PTA, and it's hosted by Helen Westmoreland and LaWanda Tony. In each episode of Notes from the Backpack, they invite an expert to the show and address a topic related to your child's learning, development, and success in and out of school. Recently, they released a Healthy Minds miniseries, which is 5 episodes, all about mental health and social emotional well-being, which is, I know, something a lot of us care about right now. The miniseries answers tough questions like, how can I help my teen manage stress? And how can we normalize talking about mental health? The episodes address important topics like stress, anxiety, depression, and a lot more. You can subscribe now on the same app that you're listening to Spawned right now. That's Notes from the Backpack, wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We're also so happy to welcome Splashpad as our new sponsor of Spawn. So if your house is like my house, your sink is probably getting way more action than ever these days. Kids are home more than they were. It's a little crazy. So, you know, you're washing hands and dishes and kids and babies. No babies in my house that I know of. Your own self-care routine, letting kids play with water. And so the Splashpad mat makes cleaning easier by keeping your bathroom and kitchen sink area clean and dry. Doesn't that sound magical? Like, this is adulting, people, right? Like, that sounds awesome. You may know Splash Pad from their popular baby changing pads. Well, now they're out with Splash Pad, which is essentially a sink mat with a non-slip bottom and a soft microfiber top to soak up moisture. It's specially designed to fit right around the sink basin on the counter or sink top. It has snaps that allow for a custom fit, whatever size or shape your sink happens to be. And so once you snap it on, you can leave the mat out for a few days with no need to wipe the sink area. Seriously, what is that like? And then at the end of the week, you simply throw it in the wash with the rest of your towels. Splash Pad mats are all soft, absorbent, and quick drying, washable and reusable in fun patterns and solids too. And we've got a special offer just for Spawned listeners. You can buy now on amazon.com/splashpad and get 30% off using promo code 30COOLMOM. That's amazon.com/splashpad. Use the code 30COOLMOM, all one word, all together, no spaces, and save 30% off.
Well, hey, now it's time for
Cool Picks of the Week! Cool Picks of the Week!
So Kristen, as our special guest, well, you kind of were, because I kind of was interviewing you, right? So you get to go first.
Oh, why, thank you. Okay, I'm so excited about this cool pick. It is life-changing. Well, you know, first world life-changing. It's the L'Oreal Voluminous Primer. And what it does, right, you put it on before you put your mascara on, and it totally bumps everything up. In fact, it was recommended by the folks over at Selfie Podcast. We love those ladies. They have a really great Facebook community. And I was like, my eyelashes feel like they're thinning. Does anyone have a good mascara? And like 7 people were like, get this. You use your own mascara, which people may or may not know if you listen to the podcast long enough. I love the Thrive Cosmetics mascara. And I have to say, it totally works. The one trick is don't let it dry. So you put it on, it's actually white. Put it on your lashes, then put your mascara on. You can curl them before you do all of this. It's $5, $6 at your local drugstore. Totally awesome.
Kristen, I'm so happy to hear this because I actually have the fancy version of it. I have the one from, I think, Lancome, which is wonderful, life-changing, as you say, amazing, not $6. So if the L'Oreal one works really well, then yes. I could put my like fancy expensive mascara over the less expensive primer.
Exactly.
But it really works. It's amazing.
Yes. Okay, what's yours?
So today, I would like to recommend, since we're going into summer, before we take a little break, I put together like the great master expert list of camp care package gift ideas. Kristen, we send our kids off to summer camp, or at least some of them are off for the summer.
Yes.
And after 8 years of sending camp care package gifts, I thought, you know, I'm kind of an expert at this now. I'm going to give my best ideas, especially for tweens and teens who probably have outgrown like the stuffed animals or the Mad Libs or the, you know, like the cutesy stuff you might have sent when your kids were younger. So it's on coolmompics.com. You can find the list. Just look up camp care package gift ideas. And it's really helpful. And by the way, not just for camp. I mean, it's cool ideas even if you have like nieces or nephews or kids in another state or someone celebrating a birthday. Like they're just cool gift ideas, but they're especially like affordable, great for groups, really fun. And just lets them know that you're thinking about them a whole lot, even when they're not thinking about you, as my daughter always tells me.
Yes.
She goes, Mom, you know that one year at camp, I forgot I had parents.
Yes.
Which is the sign of a good camp experience.
It is. It is. That's awesome. All right. Well, we will link everything up over on our Cool Mom Picks podcast page. And hey, thanks to everyone for joining us for another episode of Spawned. Thanks to our awesome engineer, John Bowen. Okay, so Liz, here's the deal.
Yes.
We're going to take a little break.
We are.
Because we're going to enjoy some summer with our families. Now, technically, if you look at Apple Podcasts, we will be back with season 5. Right. However, we started podcasting in June of 2015, so it's our 7th year. But you know what? We haven't really worked in seasons like a lot of people do. Like, we're not serial. You know what I'm saying?
So, yes, I guess. Okay. So, our official season 5 is coming back. That's crazy. You know, I was thinking that we've done as many episodes as Friends.
Oh.
And so, I'm hoping maybe one day we get our $1 million per episode. You know?
Yes.
A gal can hope.
Yes.
Well, speaking of which, if you've got a moment and can leave us a 5-star review, we'd greatly appreciate your time, especially the kind, thoughtful reviews. There are a couple that are not so kind. And you know what? Brushing it off my shoulder. Don't care. And you know what? Somebody said to me once, Kristen, sometimes the bad reviews help other people know that it's right for them.
Yes. Yes.
So if someone says, like, this is kind of liberal and progressive for me, then, like, great. All the liberal progressive people can find us. But if you can leave us a nice review, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you can subscribe, download our episodes so you can listen offline. All of those help other listeners like you find us.
Absolutely. This is what we want. And you know what? We're on Facebook. Well, we're on Instagram and Twitter, too. But our Spawned podcast community is on Facebook. Come on over. Chat with us. We would love to hear from you. Come say hi. You know, we're listening to what you say. In fact, we put a post in just a few days ago about what y'all want to hear, what kind of guests you want us to have, and a bunch of you answered, which is very exciting.
Very specific. Like,
yes.
People listed some authors they love, parenting experts that they're really fans of, like topics that are of interest to them. So hop on in there and add your voice to the group because it really helps us. And we love to hear from you and put your faces with your, I don't know, ears. We don't get to see you, so it's nice to get to see you. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Spawned. This is Liz.
This is Kristen. Have a great day and a wonderful summer break. You deserve it.
Bye.